The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and this week I have a special treat. I was able to speak with Luke Sandler, who is a grinder of a forward. He's a goal scorer. He's an enforcer. And he's 25 years old, trying to make his way into the NHL. Now, this is the common story in professional hockey, in that most guys don't get drafted when they're 18 and move into a starting position in an NHL team and then have seasons that anybody who plays hockey would want to have. This story, the story of Luke Sandler, is what most players have to go through. It's one of our great friends of the Dr. Hockey Podcast, Sean Pronger, who wrote his book Journeyman. This is the story. This is what really happens if you want to play professional hockey. So let's get right to it. Let's redirect to Luke Sandler of the Kalamazoo Wings.
I am on the Skype with Luke Sandler. Luke, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I just got done with some surgery today and had to, you know, get a little workout in, and I'm happy to take some time to hear about your budding career in professional hockey. And you've had sort of a unique upbringing in the sport, so we want to hear all about it.
Yes, it's been a wild one, that's for sure.
So tell us, you know, when did you know you were going to try to play professional hockey? You know, when did it kind of like strike you that it's like, oh my God, I think I'm going to do this?
I don't know. I mean, ever since I was a kid, you know, I used to go to Blackhawks games with my parents. I just kind of fell in love with the game. And obviously, being a younger age, you start to do well as a kid. And the more you grow and you see yourself being, you know, good at something, and then eventually, you know, you go to prep school and then you play juniors and you start seeing maybe that you're like, okay, I am actually pretty good at this. And then when you see everything on TV, I just kind of, you know, you realize that's something you want to do. So I think maybe once getting around the junior age and then kind of getting to college, you know, it's something you're taking serious and something like you're actually good at and want to maybe try to have a career with. That's kind of when I maybe started getting to that point.
Did you went straight in from juniors into, and did you start in the AHL? Where did you kind of break into actually getting paychecks for doing this?
So I originally came from juniors to college, and then I left school. Kind of felt like the program was more for me in a way. And then I went to a AHL camp with the Wolves at that point. But obviously before that, I had a couple NHL rookie camps. I went to a Blackhawks one when I was 18, and then I went to the Red Wings development camp right before my first year of college. So that was a nice little taste for me to see how that game was and whatnot. And then obviously we were kind of waiting to see. I was trying to get into get past Clearinghouse, go to Lake Superior State. So I ended up going from there. Then so I went, like I said, after the year Lake State, I went to the Chicago Wolves camp. I thought I did pretty well. Maybe I don't think I was maybe ready at the time yet. And then I ended up going to the Wheeling Nailers. I was there for a little bit of the night. So what happened for me, I ended up going down to the Southern Professional League. I got sent down to there right early on, just because of the amount of guys and just kind of with Pittsburgh's organization and Wheeling is. And so I had to grind it out in the SP for a little while, and I ended up going to Brampton in the East Coast League, played some games there, and still kind of was a mess of a first year for me, and ended up back in the Southern League. So my first year, I ended up finishing on the Southern League. So that was, you know, so kind of that kind of drains you a little bit and kind of puts a lot of, you know, toll on you, makes you kind of question what's going on really. So that was the first pro paychecks, obviously, for me, was that first year after college, but nothing crazy really with those paychecks.
Well, but it's still, you know, it's unique in that, you know, a lot of people play hockey, but very few people are paid to play. And so when we see people coming up, you know, through, and there are a lot of ways to get into the NHL today. You know, there's obviously there's the traditional, you know, juniors and then getting into the draft, or like look at guys like Connor Sherry who weren't even drafted. And then there's also through AHL and also from the KHL from across in Europe. I mean, there's so many ways that players wind up, you know, on NHL teams these days that I don't know that, you know, the traditional route is going to always be the majority of players, you know, in the future. I think there's just going to be, you know, guys like you that are really grinding it out. Cause at this point, so where are you playing now?
So right now I'm in Kalamazoo. It's called the Kalamazoo Wings in the ECHL, the farm system of Vancouver Canucks and Utica Comets.
Got it. And you are you on a contract there? Are you on a game to game basis? What's your setup that you're, you know, slugging it out for this team in Kalamazoo?
So I'm just on an ECHL contract. So that's just honestly pretty much by the year. Pretty much they're almost like week to week, honestly. Like kind of not in that case. I mean, those things can be ripped up any time. As in, you know, my first few years, like when I went to Wheeling's camps like that, I was on a contract going to camp there in training camp. You feel secure. But then right after training camp, that thing gets ripped right in half. That's pretty much how that is.
Well, with a, you know, with all these different ways that you can, you know, get in and get out of these teams, you know, I think you're right. The contracts don't mean a whole lot other than that somebody, you know, said, look, you know, let's get you on the team. Let's see how you do. And then you can make a, you know, make a commitment later on. But, you know, what I've seen, contracts are a baseline plan of how things, you know, will go if you're just, you know, tearing it up and doing great. And if you're not doing that way, then things start to change pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, you can start here and I don't know, you know, East Coast contract, and all of a sudden you can start doing really well. Maybe get called up to the AHL on a random team, get a PTO or sent back down, or even maybe eventually you're up there for so long that you eventually maybe earn a contract, or the next year you can earn yourself like a two-way contract or a one-way contract.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, for guys like you that are trying to chisel your way into the league, it's like you really want to get the most out of every game. It's like every game is, you know, truly what have you done for me lately? And that's what they're going to look at. As far as I can tell, is that your experience?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every game, you know, sometimes there's games, you know, they have scouts here. Maybe they're watching a player. Maybe they're watching a guy from a different team. You never know. It's like the unexpected guys there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, sometimes you can catch, you know, they're going to have guys. The good thing about this is they're always going to be looking for guys that, you know, they have on contract with us. So our team, we have guys that are contracted, so they're going to be paying attention to them. Maybe all of a sudden, you know, I stick out to them. Oh, who's this guy? He stuck out here. He did this. Maybe he had a goal. He had a fight. He did something. So your name starts getting, you know, noticed. And then maybe they reach out to the coach, and maybe they're looking for a type of player you are. And that's kind of how you can, you know, get a chance to be, you know, a guy get on the radar.
So, and I noticed when I did some Google searching for Luke Sandler hockey, there were quite a bit of hockey fights that came up.
I got a big old list there.
That's good. So, you know, there's definitely a spot for you. If you can score goals and protect some guys on the team, I think that's a very useful niche to get into, especially today, because, you know, we talk about it. I don't know if you've listened, you know, much of the Dr. Hockey podcast, but we talk a lot about how the enforcer is a dying breed in the NHL.
Yeah, no, I think my recent one, I listened to the Pronger one, actually. That was a great one. I listened to that one in my car ride, actually, to Kalamazoo.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, Sean is, he's just an amazing guy to have on because he, you know, unlike his brother, who had a very different career than he did, you know, Sean was, he got traded almost every year. He went, you know, from AHL to NHL. He was moving around teams so frequently that he said it was a really rough ride, but he loved every minute of it. He loved playing in the NHL. You know, he played on the Pittsburgh Penguins. We talked about that a little bit, and he just said it's, you know, he wouldn't trade it for anything, and he said he really earned it. He's got a book, Journeyman, which if you got a hold of a copy of it, it's amazing. The stories in there are just they're not what people would.
I actually have it right here.
I mean, you wouldn't expect, you know, everybody sees what's on TV and they see the glamorous teams, you know, coming in town and equipment managers carrying all their equipment and all that, but you know, that's just not the way that it is until you make it into the show, into the NHL.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody's got to find a way to get in there, and you know, it sounds like you're definitely making your presence known, which is awesome. And what would you say in your estimation? You know, you're now into this for a few years. What is it that keeps you going? Where do you see the trajectory of your career? What's your plan to, you know, get the Canucks to say, you know what, we got to get the Sandler guy up?
you know, for me, it's just, I guess, continue to do what I do, which is bring a simple physical presence who, you know, will play the simple game, hard nose, forecheck guy, stick up for your teammates. And obviously it's harder, I guess, being right now, you know, being 25 and being, you know, in Kalamazoo, it's, you know, to stick out every game. You got to really make a name. And, you know, sometimes, you know, unfortunately, with the way I play, we're not going to see a lot of points, and you're not going to see, you know, a lot of numbers on the score sheet, which is hard because there's obviously a lot more, you know, things that I do that aren't really always shown, which is hard sometimes. So that's why sometimes it helps having, you know, your coach, you know, talk for you. But for me, it's just, you know, playing a simple game. And with being, you know, 25, obviously the game's really young. I think it's getting younger now. And so they're obviously, they have a lot of prospects too. That's probably the hard part with facing that.
Well, you know, the age factor is real. You know, it really depends though, because I mean, you see some guys like, you know, like I said earlier, we had Anders Lee on the podcast, and he said, you know, look, I was a late bloomer. I didn't really get into this until I was a little bit older. And, you know, now he's, you know, captain of the Islanders. So it's not out of the question, obviously. And, you know, I think that's the key, is you've got to keep your strength and training up and your speed. But if you can, you know, I guess it's got to be that all things have to come together at the right time, and there has to be a place. Well, we need a guy who's like this, and somebody goes, there's a guy playing in Kalamazoo. We got to get him up here. Let's send him, get him in the lineup, and see how he does. Is that what you envision will happen? Is that where your hopes go, or is there a much more mechanical way?
That's sure my goal is. You know, like I said, even I feel like I'm playing really well right now during the season. The points aren't really coming for me right now, which is unfortunate, because it's always nice to have those in the back pocket, say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and he's got some good points. Unfortunately, I don't have those points right now, but it's okay though. But in that case, you know, it's just my goals, like I said, you know, hopefully if somebody plays the way I play, maybe they need an opening, and let's say they maybe talk to my coach and says, we need a guy who does this. Hopefully, you know, like I said, so for me to continue to do my part is what's going to give me maybe an advantage over certain people for a certain role and position that's needed. That's why for me, I stick to what I can do and make sure I do it to a T.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think I would envision most guys have to sit there and really understand what they're good at if they're going to make a play for the NHL, because, you know, they're at this point, there's so many, you know, players of top quality that you're really competing against people that are just like you and might have, you know, similar characteristics, similar size, weight. And then it comes down to, you know, who's going to play this role. And I really see chemistry as being a job of the GMs that is not easy to figure out. And the guys who understand, you know, moving players around and how to make trades and when to bring people up and down, those are the guys that put together, you know, the winning formulas to get these teams into the playoffs and towards the Stanley Cup. So I think you got to be on the radar screen of one of those guys who's a real matchmaker and understands how to take a guy like you and where you'd fit in or where, what role you would play. You know, even say somebody goes out with an injury, you know, maybe that's where the opening is. It is not an easy task to get yourself into the NHL.
No, it's, you know, it's also about opportunity and, you know, and having an opportunity and, you know, just getting the chance.
Yeah. I mean that's what it's always about. It's like, success happens when opportunity meets the prepared.
Exactly. Here, I'll give you an example. It's like Andrew Shaw, when he made the Blackhawks, he was the only guy willing to do what he did, and look what it did for him. Now it elevated his career and he signed a huge deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he was ready. He was ready for that job.
I actually was at my rookie camp for him. Was the first year he was there, and that's when he made that team out of camp. And I mean, he stuck out the first day. I remember me and my dad talking, saying, "Wow, that kid definitely stuck out. You know, he fought. He did this. It was a rookie camp, but he made sure that he made a name for himself, and he did."
Well, so, you know, those are the really rare opportunities, and when they hit, they hit. And now you're a guy that's been playing for a while. You're obviously healthy. You're doing well from a physical standpoint. What is it going to take if you sit there and, you know, tonight you sit and you're envisioning what's going to happen in the next, you know, 2 months that's going to increase your chances of a slot on an NHL team? What do you have to do right now?
I think, you know, like I said, I think I got to improve everything. Because for me, obviously, right now, not being at the highest level, that means everything is not there. It's just trying to get better and, you know, and elevate my game even more, you know, if it's putting up more points, just because sometimes being in this league, it might, you know, it's not going to always be on the stat sheet. You're not going to always see that. So if it means, if like it means trying to get more points and trying to do that stuff, it's something I definitely need to, you know, work on and get there. And just trying to, you know, for me, it's going to be elevate my game and really try to, you know, dominate this league.
Absolutely.
Even if it means maybe not always scoring. Dominating in like different ways of being physical or doing other stuff too. But sometimes I think being in this league, you know, having points is going to help too, just because when people look and they see your name, oh, points, it's kind of sometimes the first thing they look at. Not always, because they don't show hits. They're not going to show, does he PK? You know, you're going to ask. If you see a guy and his name sticks out to you, like, okay, Sandler, oh, he had two goals that game. Okay, let me call his coach. Tell me about him. Oh, and then your coach will say, he's physical. He stays up for his teammates. And he's a penalty killer.
Right.
That's when the more detail comes. But sometimes it's just about having that first eyesight, that glance.
Well, you know, that's the thing, is that it's all about, you know, the stats really show. I can also add an example to that from, I think it was yesterday, you know, against Winnipeg. You know, the name Carter Rowney is not a name that you hear a whole lot when you're talking about the NHL. The only time that you heard Carter Rowney is in the playoffs of, you know, 2016 or something. He had a game where he had 3 points and it was a career high for him. Well, the other night he had 3 points. And it's the first time I heard anybody on the Anaheim Ducks talk about Carter Rowney. And, you know, before that, they barely mentioned him. It was like, oh, the fourth line. Well, all of a sudden Carter Rowney gets 3 points and they're talking about him like, oh, this guy's, you know, really showing something. Because it is. It's all about, you know, adding to the scoreboard, even though, you know, nobody brought up the fact that Ryan Kesler won like 62% of his faceoffs. You know, there were other things going on that allow the team to do well, but those things don't typically get noticed when they're looking at the players that they're trying to either shuffle into the lineup or where they're going to go.
Oh, exactly. It's exactly what you said. It's, you know, there's been games in our line, the third line here. We've had games and maybe we don't score at all, but we were hitting, we were physical, we controlled the puck, we drew penalties, we were able to provide momentum, but we didn't score though. And, you know, like you said, yeah, the team knows we played great in this and that, but our line didn't score. And then we had one game where I scored, my roommate scored, like our whole line was just buzzing. They gave the team rope to, you know, or the team coat, you know, to the MVP, they gave to our entire line. You know, the other game we won, you know, we were dominant, but we didn't score, so we weren't getting the jacket. But, you know, the minute our line puts up, you know, 3 out of 4 goals, it gets noticed a little bit more.
Absolutely. That's funny. So you guys are bunking together and then you're out on the same line?
Oh, yeah. My roommate's one of my best buddies. We had last year in Atlanta. Our team traded him away at the deadline last year to the top team. And then this year, we ended up really helping me a lot.
Well, that's very cool. I mean, it must be a lot of fun to play with the with your buddies and be able to go out there and, you know, take out these other teams. And especially you must know the other guys on the other teams. Like, it's got to be not a gigantic pool of talent that these teams are pulling from.
Being my age or seeing guys that you play with in juniors, and, you know, this is the time now. Pro hockey can be 18 to, you know, 40 if you want to. So you're gonna know people. You know, I see guys that I know from home, or guys that I used to play with from, you know, back in, you know, high school or anything like that. You're seeing guys now from, you know, playing against them. It's actually amazing.
That's really fun. So how much further does the season go? How much longer?
We have about, let's see here, about till early April, regular season. And then you make playoffs. Usually starts probably about, you know, mid-April, I'd say. I think we still have probably around 40 games left, if I'm not mistaken, I think.
Whoa.
Regular games.
that's not nothing. That's a ton of hockey.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here, I look exactly. We played 37 games. We probably have about 35 left, I think. I think we play 72 or 78.
So
I should probably know this. I don't know. I don't.
And so how's the fan base in Kalamazoo?
It's actually pretty good. You know, on certain days, I mean, the town here loves it. We have a call, you know, Western Michigan's here too. But obviously when our games are on, we get good crowds. You know, it's sometimes it's hit or miss depending on the days or whatnot. But I'd say it's pretty good, though.
Fantastic.
This division's actually really well with fans, though.
And how, like, I know the Gulls have like 12,000 people in their arena. How big's the arena you guys play in?
Our arena, let's see. It's not that big.
Yeah, that one's pretty large for the AHL. People always ask.
Yeah. This one's, it's not that big, but it's definitely kind of like, you know, I feel like it's like more compact, as in, so when, if it's filled, it looks like it's super filled up because of how like kind of close everything is. So it's not the biggest arena, but it definitely, when it gets packed, it looks like it's just like, you look like you can't even like see around how big it is, but it's definitely, it's not one of the bigger arenas, but it's definitely, when it fills up, it's pretty cool though.
Fantastic. What, so tell me, who's your, the player that you model yourself after? Like, who were your heroes growing up? And in the sort of the fan base before you became professional?
You know what? I always loved a Milan Lucic and like Jamie Benn. Guys, like, even if I wasn't putting up points like a Jamie Benn or stuff like that, I still loved his game because, you know, he would, you know, being him, he's big, he could score, he'd fight, all that stuff. That's why I actually, Lucic was like my probably one of my favorites. I mean, as a kid, I always loved Brett Hall because the guy just pure goal scored and I just loved him. But then you realize maybe my team wasn't all pure goal scoring. So I'm like, maybe I should switch to more realistic person because I know I'm not going to be putting up that many goals ever probably. But so I fell in love with Lucic's game, just how he was. I mean, the guy, he put up sick numbers too. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But the guy, if you look at him, he's one of the mean guys out there. He'll fight. He'll run guys over. And for me, I just fell in love with that game. And obviously, like, I like Tom Wilson too. I love his game. I try to model that. Yep. But that was obviously more newer because Lucic's been around for a lot longer.
Yeah, I see you just based on like the clips I've seen and kind of how I envision your play. I see you as a Tom Wilson type player, and that is something that, you know, I'm telling you, there are definitely teams that need a guy like that right now. There are teams that need so much right now. If I were a GM, I'd be trying some very unique approaches to this stuff, but you know, there's so much politics and protocol, and I think that may almost hold the NHL back from even going to a different level than it's already at. It's like it's insanely faster, and the game is crazy now compared to when I was watching it as a kid. But
oh, it's definitely getting away. I mean, it's still physical, don't get me wrong, but it's definitely getting away from that old school, the old time kind of hockey. It's getting more, like you said, way faster, way more about speed. Now everybody wants to be lighter and more speed. And I've seen even in the summertime, a lot of guys now, even myself, trying to get leaner now because you want to be able to keep up and be fast. I mean, yeah, you like being for my size and how I am and how I play. Yeah, heavier, maybe better. But now it's taking those pounds off and just getting faster so you can keep up now.
Sean Pronger always says it's a contact sport. And, you know, it's not designed that, you know, you should be able to get into the zone uninterrupted and have no fear of being checked, because that's what the game is about. I mean, checking your guy is key. And I do believe there's going to be go ahead.
No, so that's probably the reason why I fell in love with it. You get to hit people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a contact sport. And, you know, that's why I loved rugby. I you know, I played hockey a bit, but I just, you know, it was hard, you know, getting ice time and all those things where I grew up. And so it sort of fell aside. And the thing I loved about rugby was the, you know, the contact of, you know, stopping the other team, but it's also, you know, propelling your team forward with, you know, key blocks and all those kind of things. So I think that the game's going to go through an adjustment myself. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that these speedy guys are going to, there's going to be a way to slow them down. And it may not be that, you know, you have to, you know, physically wreck them, but there's going to be a way to play them that's going to neutralize them based on size. And you see that with some teams. You know, I do watch the Ducks all the time because they're right in front of me here, and they have very large defensemen and they have excellent skill on defense. They can't put the puck in the net lately, but their defense is so solid that they can hold really strong scoring teams to low, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, wins, you know, 2-1 in overtime with a Braden Point overtime goal. So watching their physical size and the way that they push everybody outside really stops the train of speed into the middle. So I think that there will be roles for guys to be larger, more skilled, and as you said, staying lean and light so that they can move fast. That's the NHL player of the future.
Oh, I totally agree with that, just because, like you said, the game's getting faster. Obviously younger too, but I mean, I just, that's why I am like, I mean, it's nice being fast. Don't get me wrong, but like being, like you said, being a contact sport. You know, when you have guys like, example, like McDavid, you see teams finishing checks, doing this, doing that. It rattles them. That's what they're supposed to do. That's your job. You have to, because if not, the guys can put up 8 points a game on you. You have to. It's just how it's like how guys are. Like, you can't, like Gaudreau. The guy is one of the most steal guys in the league. He goes untouched all game. He's putting up 5 a night. It's like Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
That guy skates on the ice. I mean, because he's unbelievable. I mean, one of the best players in the world. I'm lucky enough, like I said, to skate with him and train with him in the summertime, and I see what he does. It's amazing. Like I said, that guy goes untouched.
Yeah.
You know, well, and for him, that you him untouched, you're in trouble.
Well, and the thing is that there's also, I see that there's a size mismatch too. When you watch a Gaudreau go past like a Josh Manson or, a Zdeno Chara, if they hit the guy, it's a headshot. You know, he is literally half their size. And so, you know, hitting him becomes almost treacherous because he's going to draw a penalty without a doubt. And that makes it, you know, a little bit more challenging to move him to the outside and to get him there because, you know, he's a penalty magnet.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like you said, nowadays, because, you know, obviously you hate to see head hits. You hate it because nobody means to do them and wants to get a guy hurt. But the problem is, though, take a big guy, like you said, Chara on Gaudreau, he goes to hit him. Unfortunately, he might get hit in the head because of how much bigger he is. And so guys are probably leaning away of trying to finish that big hit because they're worried about what's going to happen. Like Tom Wilson, example. Yeah. I believe he said a statement saying he's kind of getting, not that he's nervous to hit, but he is. He's getting a little nervous because he's such a big and powerful guy that he runs a guy over. What's going to happen in case that guy's smaller than him? He ducks his head and all of a sudden it looks like he hits him in the head, but maybe he doesn't mean to. He's going to get suspended. Guys are getting worried because suspensions are coming out now. I mean, Wilson just had a 14-game suspension because of the one. I mean,
yeah, that not only is it takes him off the team, but it impacts his paycheck. And, you know, then it also, you know, I'm sure they're, you know, keeping score on who's laying these hits down. So it is. The game's going to change. There's going to be more. There's going to be more attention to how to adjust to the fact that the players are changing shape and their stats are changing. So I think, like I said, for a guy like you, you got to find your role and get in there. I think, and you will. I'm sure you will. Who do you think this year, out of all the teams, who do you think is winning the Stanley Cup?
You know, I was actually prepping for this question, I believe. I was trying to look and see, because, I mean, watching teams, like, the teams you want to say. And, I mean, like I said, last year, I was a Washington fan from last year. It'd be really cool to see him do it again. But, you know, I just feel like Tampa Bay, I feel like they're always, their nose is always in there. I feel like one of these years they're going to do it. I feel like this is going to be the year. I feel like they're just rolling teams right now. They're unstoppable.
They sure are. They look unbelievable,
and
don't they?
I feel like it's going to happen eventually because they're just, of how good they've been the last how many years. It's just like, it's like with Washington, like, come on, let's be real. You knew if they didn't win it soon, it was going to be never. And all of a sudden they did. I feel like it's got to be Tampa, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I picked Tampa to win also because I figure this is their, you know, this is their window. This is what Stevie Y had been, you know, prepping them for, and he put the team together, and they are just a, they are a machine of goals, aren't they? They're just like so.
It's actually insane. And their goalie, that Vasilevskiy, is, I mean, he's disgusting.
He's ridiculous. He's so good.
He makes these crazy saves. I'm just like, how is this even possible?
You know, and these goalies aren't in the zone forever. You know, like I remember having, we had John Blue on, probably like right when we started the Dr. Hockey podcast, you know, a year and a half ago or so. And we were talking about Bobrovsky. And like this year, he's like totally struggling. You know, he is having such a hard time this year. And, you know, we talked about him like he walked on water. So things change, you know, and right now for Tampa Bay, it's all clicking.
Yeah. And it's the thing is, like you said, Bobrovsky was hot last year, and this year he's having struggles. The thing with Tampa Bay is they seem to just avoid those struggles.
Lately they do, and they've got a lot of guys who love scoring goals. You know, from even their defense is just, you know, Strawman, Hedman. I mean, forget it. They're stacked, and the depth on the second and third lines. I think I I mean, they're definitely the team to beat, which also, you know, makes you think, well, you know, could they do it? Of course they can, but with everybody gunning for them, you know, can a Pittsburgh step up and stop Tampa Bay in the first round or second? Yeah, definitely. Can, you know, could even Boston do it? Of course they could, but, you know.
I mean, even Toronto, I mean, they're struggling right now, but when that team's hot, watch out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
They are unbelievable. But, I mean, obviously every team's going to go through struggles. I mean, look at the Blackhawks. They were one of the hottest teams to start the year. They you know, they started losing some games, and they kind of fell off a little bit. Doesn't mean they're not going to get hot again, but, I mean, a team like Toronto has got one of the most hottest offense, you know, lines in the league.
Well, yeah, Toronto's ripe, too. I think they're definitely on their way, but no, I'm with you. My choice was Tampa Bay. Jason, my co-host, he picked Toronto to win. And who do you think it is in the West? Who's impressing you in the West? Who's going to be the Stanley Cup contender?
I mean, right now, I mean, obviously Calgary's in first in the West right now. I mean, you can't take anything away from them. You know, I just don't. Sometimes it's hard to tell if they're a team that's going to really make that far push. Like you said, it's hard for me to see a team like Calgary beating a team like Nashville or like Winnipeg. I know it's like kind of sometimes you hate to be the guy to always pick the number one, the number ones, but like a team like Nashville, a team that's been built for these kind of runs for the last, you know, 3-4 years. I just feel like I don't know. And for me, I could even see maybe San Jose. They're starting to get hot right now, creep up a little bit with that, you know, the defense they have and the offense they have. But I think a team like Winnipeg might make a serious push this year. And like last year, I mean, they beat Vegas beat them. They don't beat, you know, let's say Winnipeg beats Vegas. You never know what could happen in the finals.
Absolutely.
But I think a team like Winnipeg might make a nice strong push. Cause that team's solid too. They're not really slowing down at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, Winnipeg is, Winnipeg last year is very different than Winnipeg this year, even though the loss of Paul Stastny seems like it shouldn't be that big of an impact. He was such an impact player for them in the playoffs that I do think that it really hurt them, and he's making his mark over on the Golden Knights now.
Vegas is starting to get hot now too, so you can't totally. Especially with having him now, you have your top two centermen are strong like that. It's very hard to rule them out either.
Yeah, I mean, I think San Jose looks really. Boy, I mean, they have so much talent, and they're starting to click. You know, they've got Joe Pavelski has like 21 or 22 goals, something now. He had 20 all year last year, and so he's having a career year as the captain. He's got, and I think it's because he's got the support. He's got Carlson, he's got Brent Burns, he's got Vlasic. I mean, their defense is so solid. And then you've got, you know, these young goal scorers like Timo Meier. He's going to be a 30-goal scorer, 40-goal scorer before his career is done, for sure. He's really coming on. Logan Couture. I mean, that team is... And oh yeah, by the way, they have Evander Kane. Like that, they're just it just doesn't end. You know,
I mean, he's game two. It's crazy.
It's just amazing what the Sharks have there to work with. And DeBeers is a great coach, so I could see that happening too. But well, it'll be fun, that's for sure. And I'm sure you guys, you know, have to pay attention to your game. You don't have a lot of time to watch the other teams. But some of the guys told me they really pay attention to the NHL app. You know, they're always looking at the standings and, you know, trying to catch scores, you know, but they're too busy with their workouts and trying to keep on their own game that they can't focus on what's happening with the other teams.
Yeah, no, me and my roommate, we watch a lot of hockey here. We'll throw it on attach it to the projector and put it on the big screen while we're eating dinner, just relax at nighttime, throw, you know, a lot of good games out. We try to watch as much as we can.
Well, you learn a lot, I'm sure, too, watching it. It's a, yeah, these guys are really—they're just amazing. It's really fun. We have
they're at the top. So you're trying to watch and see what you can do to, you know, just be just like them.
Yeah, we have. I just like watching because I'm such a, you know, a stats guy, and I'm all about, you know, looking at can you moneyball the NHL, and I really believe you can. Of course, injuries are the X factor that just throw the whole thing. You know, whatever theories you have can quickly go out the window. But you know, we have a television in our family room that is it's dedicated only to sports, and 97% of the time it's only hockey. So there's pretty much hockey on all the time.
No, that's funny. That's a good sign then.
Oh yeah. No, the kids love it too. They're very into it. We went to the double whammy Penguins Ducks and Penguins Kings games this weekend, and they learned a lot watching, you know, a top team, you know, come from behind to beat the Ducks, and then, you know, really getting beaten by the Kings on Saturday night. And you know, they said, boy, you know, they just look like a different team. I said, you know, that's the thing, is that this is a game played by humans. It's not statistical robots, and all the stats in the world, you know, have to be taken with a, you know, large grain of salt for timing and where they are and who they're playing. And, you know, there are things that come up, and all of a sudden the 31st, you know, team in the league beats the Pittsburgh Penguins, one of the, you know, top 16 teams. So it's cool. I definitely enjoy that aspect of watching the game, but I'm sure for you guys, you're watching it with a whole different eye.
Yeah, we're watching, obviously trying to be fans of our, you know, like for me, like Chicago, because the hometown, my roommate's from Texas, so he likes Dallas. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're trying to watch and, you know, watch certain guys, or, you know, you're excited to watch certain players play and just learn from them and see what you need to do to work on.
Well, I think you've got you are to be commended for working it as hard as you are to get into the NHL. And I really... you know, I know how hard it is, and you must train like a dog, and, you know, have to, you know, eat right and stay on top of your sleep. I mean, it is everything, isn't it? That allows you to perform at a peak level.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a grind for sure. You know, the summertime is the big, you know, the full training aspect, trying to prepare yourself for the year. Then during the year, you know, like you said, especially in this league with the, you know, you might have 3-3s, you might have, you know, 4-5s, you know, like last month, you know, and you and I were able to the text and communicate, we were in a 7-10. So
jeez,
really trying to keep the body. Yeah, it was insane. And oh, you're playing, you're trying to really, you know, I think at that point I was really starting to get a feel for being here and stuff. So I was starting to play a lot more, and you really feel the body. You're like, oh, you know, wow, I got really more ice baths, or, you know, more stretching or this and that to kind of keep your body fresh. But yeah, it's definitely a grind, but it's something, you know, to do to, at the end of the day, you know, by that, you know, that seventh game, that last 10 day for, you know, you want to have your body tip top shape. You want to be the one to stick out. Cause if, you know, if, like you said, if guys are, you know, maybe the team looks tired, you know, for me, be the guy to stick out and be, you know, the energy guy. That's, you know, it's huge.
Well, I'm sure you're going to do everything you can to make it there. You should, you know, please keep us posted. And when you are in town, you know, come into the studio, or, you know, just even into the office, and we can set up and talk a little bit more. I'm sure Jason would have, you know, 200 questions for you about, you know, what it was like to get this going. And it's awesome to get to talk to you. I really appreciate you taking the time, Luke. It's you know, it's a tough game to get in, but it sounds like you got it moving in the right direction.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I really appreciate, you know, you taking the time to talk with me too. I love talking, so I love doing this kind of stuff. So yeah, anytime you let me know, I'd love to do another one.
Cool. All right, man. Well, let's catch up as we get into the playoffs. I'll want to hear how you guys are going, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, Luke. Take care.
You too. Thanks.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.